Hebrews chapter 2. Please turn. We are reading from the Authorized Version, King James Bible. Hebrews chapter 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. God bless this reading of his holy word. When was the last time you thought of death? Seriously. You don't say, well, I don't like to think of death. If that is what you think, let me inform you, death is thinking of you. Never think it is very far away. We had recently a friend, went to sleep, did not wake up. And that is the best way to go if you are ready. So my question is, are you ready? Have you prepared for that moment of departure? We are all in a great departure lounge, you know, like Singapore Airport. And the announcement keeps going on. Flight so and so, flight so and so. When you hear it, you better move. So when is your flight coming? Are you ready? Oh dear friends, it is said that men fear death as children fear the dark. So it is. Are you afraid? I say, let us all this morning think. Prepare for that inevitable event, something you cannot avoid. And you say, how can I prepare? I say, you ought to know. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ knows. Yes, we have a wonderful Savior. The only Savior, by the way. The only. The only one who has conquered our enemy, number one. The only one. And if you know Him as your Savior, you are very blessed. Do you know Him as your Savior? Thank Him every day. And think of Him. And prepare for His call. For we all have to depart one way or another. Either he calls and you answer, or he comes and you answer also. Only one of two ways. Are you ready? So you ask me, how do I get ready? I say, it is so simple. It's all in the Word of God. Know the Word. You heard the teaching this morning by Reverend Stephen Koo. Read the Word. That is the guidebook to heaven. Our destination is heaven. All of us. On the way to heaven. Don't you ever forget and neglect this great thought. We are all on our way to heaven. You must prepare, read the word, know it, love it, meditate on it, practice it, and more important, at the end of it, give it out to others. Share the word. Are you doing that? I dare say most of you do not. True? Absolutely. You don't want to share that word. You're in the secret service. You keep it to yourself. I say, do not. If you're preparing for the Lord's return, go and tell. Tell someone whom you care for that there is a Savior. I've printed recently, and if you haven't got a copy, ask Wendy, order. The reason why? The best witness for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it out. Prepare for His coming. Make short accounts. Don't owe anything. Don't owe anybody anything. Yes. If you owe, go and pay. I've learned many precious lessons 75 years ago. A long time. Long time ago. How did it happen? By God's grace, we were sent to stay with grandfather. Now you've heard my grandfather's story so many times. You say, always telling us grandfather stories. Simply because they are so good. So true. Grandfather was 70. And he had only one desire every day. I want to be with my Lord. And he prayed for it. Prayed so loud at night that he woke us up. And then we asked him, Grandfather, what did you pray for? Whoa. I asked the Lord to take my soul. Are you ready for that? You pray for that. Oh, that is the believer's prayer. The earnest and the true believer's prayer. One day he came back from market with a packet of prawns. When he opened, lo and behold, there were 10 cents. Market is a mile away. What did he do? Ah, he took the 10 cents and walked back. The fishmonger says, old man, what do you come for? 10 cents. Yours. Oh, come next marketing day. Don't take all the trouble. No, 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 grandfather says, at my age, I may not have another marketing day. So let us all be ready. Hebrews is a wonderful book. The chapter we are reading is the second chapter. But first chapter tells us why this book is written. What a fool thought, you know, that in this book of Hebrews, firstly, the writer tells us that God in these last days wants to communicate with us by His own Son. Do you know Him? Do you realize this New Testament is a record of God's communication by His own Son? Whereas the Old Testament is through prophets and others, men of faith like Moses and all the rest. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. And here is the secret of your victory over death. For here comes the one who has the keys of death and of hell. He has the solution to your life problem. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Please follow. God, who at sundry times, various times, in different manners, in time past, He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. This is to turn our attention to the Old Testament. Whenever you read Old Testament, God speaks to you through prophets. And thank God for those prophets. They are holy men of old to whom God committed the message. What for? in order that you may understand God's will and purpose in your life. Verse 2, but now in these last days wherein we live, he says this, please follow. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Amazing. This is the greatest condescension, that God sent us his Son. Do you know him? Of course. And then I say, how well do you know him? Do you know what he says to you? Are you reading? There is no other way. Don't say, well, I go to church. I hear the gospel. I hear the preaching. I say, that's not enough. If you're a real child of God, first thing in the morning, where is Father? Jesus says, except a man be converted and be changed to be a child, you cannot enter heaven of the kingdom of heaven, you know. You've got to be converted to a child. And what child at 3 years old wakes up and does not call for mother and father? There's a picture of a faithful child of God. Are you? Do you call for him? Do you look him up? First thing in the morning is so lovely, so wonderful, so endearing, so warm. To whom? To the Father. God is waiting. Are you reading? Are you listening? Now, in these last days, God speaks to us by his Son. Who? Jesus. You know, many people in the world agree with you. If you say, you believe in God, you worship God, almost everybody is happy to agree with you that, yes, why not? As long as it is a vague term called God, okay. But we must be specific. Verse 2, God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. Who is his Son? Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And he is God. He is God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. How do we know? You read the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, chapter 6, chapter 14, all these. He says, how come you've been following me all these years? You don't know who God is, what God is like. Then Jesus told his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen God. I am he. Verse 2, God in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, who came into the world as a man. There are people today who are very curious and inquisitive. They're looking for aliens from outer space. Oh, those spacecraft. UFOs, unidentified foreign, I don't know what, the objects that fly around. They say they see, and they see them land and aliens coming out. And they're very curious, want to know, want to make contact. I say, how foolish, how foolish. These are hallucinations. But we have his Son. Oh, dear friends, this morning, if you have a problem of death and health, here is the solution. There is no other solution. Don't ever think my solution is I've got the best doctor. Your best doctor one day will have to need another doctor. And he'll ask his doctor friend, can I survive? And the doctor friend will tell him, I don't know. Yes, your security is not in doctors, not in the best medicine, not in insurance. None of these things. Your solution, the answer to your problem is here. Verse 2, his own Son, God's Son, he is heir of all things, he made the worlds, but he has come here to communicate God's message and to show you, and in the passage we have read, to be the solution to the answer to life's biggest, most urgent problem of death. Are you worried? Do you know the answer? Here it is. It's so simple that you must know it, and then not just know it, but embrace it Know Jesus every day. Sing the songs of Jesus every day. Every time I go visiting to the hospital, I don't just say, hello, how are you? Hope you're getting better and get well soon, and say not some nice words, but always leave them God's word. And the best thing is, leave them a chorus. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. So that person is comforted with real comfort, with real assurance. Do you have that yourself? Do you know Him so well today that you are not afraid of death at any time? If it happens to you, say thank God. Pray that you will fear the grave no more than you fear your bed. Do you fear your bed? Of course not. Tonight, or even this afternoon when you are tired, you go to your bed. It's the best place to rest. Ah, you know what Jesus says to His disciples? Our friend Lazarus sleeps. Death is but a sleep. You know, the process of dying is just sleeping. No more than that. But make sure you know where you awake. Yeah. If you know your Lord Jesus so well, you love Him so dearly, you trust Him so fully, then the grave is no more fearful than your bed. So tonight when you go to bed, remember this saying. Lord, if it is your will to take me, so be it. I go to my bed. And then, where do I wake up? In the presence of God. Wonderful. How do I know? Luke chapter 16, okay? The poor man Lazarus. Every day he's wondering, will the rich man drop some better crumbs I can eat and survive? That's all he had. The food that came off the rich man's table. Rich man also goes to bed and say, well, tomorrow, 10-course dinners. What better new menu can I have tomorrow? And he's growing fatter and fatter. So each one has his own agenda. What is your agenda when you go to bed? Think of this. Oh, dear friends, be ready. Be ready. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 again. Verse 3. You know Jesus, He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. God is a consuming fire. No man has seen God, but we see Him through the Son, Jesus Christ. Through Him you know God. How well do you know Him? You cannot know God except you know Jesus Christ. Now it says here, He is the one who has come to represent God in His person. When you know Jesus, you know God. For God is love. And Jesus came and to express that God is love and He loves you. How well then do you know Him? And who is He? He is the one who upholds all things by the word of His power. Do you know that? That the satellites, the sun and the moon, and then the nine planets are like nine satellites, all going round in perfect order. How? How come they know how to go round and the whole solar system moves in perfect order? How? Verse 3. All these are upholding all things by the word of His power. He who created all these things by the word of His power. He created, He sustains them. And He keeps them all in perfect orbit, perfectly moving. If so, you know how God created the heavens and the earth? By the word of His mouth only. By that word. How did He create you and me? With His own hands, lovingly, by the dust of the earth. He shaped you, formed you and me. To be like Him. For we are created in His image, after His likeness. Then He breathed into us that we have the Spirit of God in us. Now he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high because he had purged us our sins. This is the solution to the problem of death. Now go on to chapter 2 as we come to the text proper. Verse 9. Just now we read that in these end times God sent His only Son to reveal God to us. Now, verse 9. How did God reveal Himself to us? By His Son here. Jesus, verse 9, please follow. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You know, in the present order, God above, the Creator supreme, unapproachable, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-wise God. Then you have the various created angelic hosts, great in power and might, wonderful creatures. Some names we know, most names we do not know, but those we know are like Michael, Gabriel, all these we know. But they are creatures of great power created by God. Then comes what? Man, lower than the angels. Now God is sending us His Son. Will He come as an angel? Not at all. God has a plan. God wants us to identify with Him. God wants us to be approachable by Him, that He came as a man, so that we can relate to Him. If He's an alien, somebody, some creature very strange, we are frightened of Him. We cannot communicate. Verse 9. See the wisdom of God. The whole purpose of Jesus coming is to solve the death problem for all of us once and for all. That you can go to bed with complete assurance every night to know that absent from the body is present with the Lord. Anytime, for any believer, if you should breathe your last, instantly, there is no halfway house, there's no lag period, that you've got to stay somewhere to get purged and purified and made good enough. No, nope. You are good enough. God has made you so and declared it in Jesus Christ. You are one with Christ, with the Son. And God acknowledges and God honors you. And absent from this body, present with the Lord. That is the solution to death. Verse 9, see again. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God He should taste death for every man. This is God's plan. How many plans does God have? Is there plan 1, plan A? Then plan A doesn't work well, yeah, plan B, and so on, contingency plans. Oh, my friends, God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, and He's all-wise, and He's only one plan that's sure success. No need to have a reserve plan, only one. What is that one plan? God will come in the person of a man to identify with us in our difficulty, in our predicament, in our despair. He comes as a man to relate to us, to reveal to us, reveal to us the loving heart of God. Why did God send His only Son? Answer, do you know? For you, so that you can go to sleep at night in peace and assurance and comfort, and know that absent from the body is present with the Lord, and God is going to give me a good night's rest, and I will sleep in peace. All because God has sent you His Son to be your Savior, to relate to you, for you to know Him through the Scriptures. You know there is a man called Jesus, and He came because God loved us. Did He see anything good in us? Oh, my friends, All of us were enemies of God, rebels, sinful, unloving, unlovely. Enemies were far away, and God says, I love you. All who have been created in the image of God Himself, fallen men, sinful, hopeless, condemned, have a way out. We see Jesus. Please follow now. This is the solution. This is God's plan A. Only one plan. Always succeeds. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. And this was declared and predicted and prophesied in the Garden of Eden at the very beginning. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. He will bruise your head. This is the promise that the seed of woman, we read it here, a little lower than the angels. As I said, the hierarchy is God created angels, then men. And God's Son did not come as an angel, but as a man. Yes. Lower than the angels. Humble Himself to take on human flesh and blood, such as you and I. Why? Because He loved us. That He identifies with us. He came as a man to live the life of a man, to feel all the weaknesses and the needs and the temptations of a man, to feel them and yet not to fall to them. We have a wonderful Savior. How well do you love Him? Do you love Him every day and say, Lord, thank you that you came to make peace with God, to make a way for me to return to God. Thank you for giving me victory over death, victory over sin, which is the cause of death. Why do we have to die? Because we sinned. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. By sin. He came death, and death came upon all men. Because you search your own heart, and you know how sinful we are. Because all have sinned, and so all fall under that sentence of death. All of us, now we see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels, to become a man, to be born a baby at Christmas time, we always remember, and He grows up. What did Jesus say? In His poverty, He says, you want to follow me? Think carefully. You want to follow Jesus? Jesus says, I, the Son of Man, have not a place to lay my head at night. Birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has not a place to lay His head on. In poverty, in deprivation, in the most awful circumstances, He came to be like one of us, to take our place. And this is the meaning of the incarnation. Jesus came to be your Savior, my Savior, your representative, so that we identify with Him, will receive all the benefits that go to Him. This is simple gospel. Nothing difficult, nothing complicated, nothing expensive. All by faith, trusting in Him that God sent His Son, a little lower than the angels, a man like me, to take my place, to experience my difficulties, and to show that it is impossible, that it is possible for a man to live a clean and pure life before God. And that in Him we all can do it. Through Jesus Christ, when you identify yourself completely, always walking with Him, always seeking His mind, always doing His will, we can please God and receive His wonderful blessing. Verse 10. It became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It's a very long sentence, but let me tell you very simply what it means. It became Him, Jesus, who is the creator, please understand. He is the one who made all things. John 1:3 says, all things were made by Him. Who created the sun and the moon and the stars and the planet Earth? Who did it? Our Lord Jesus. Who says so? John 1:3. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And He made all these things. And He came to take our place in order that He may bring many sons to glory. This is verse 10. Please follow. You are included in this, many sons who will bring to glory. How can you go into glory? How come you can be brought into glory? What kind of glory were you talking about? You say, I'm so poor today, I can hardly make a living. Where is the glory? I'm sick, I'm going to die. What glory is there? Not today. Not now. In this mortal flesh. But by faith we have the promise of God. God's promises, every promise is true. Every promise is faithful. And what does Jesus promise you? As I live, you will live. Do you dare believe that promise and receive it with all your heart? This is a promise. And you will come into glory. Where does it say so? Here. He came to bring many sons to glory. Who are the many sons? You and me. All of us who sit here today and say, we are here because we trust in the Lord Jesus. We know Him as our Savior. You are already included in this group of many sons to glory. You do not see glory today. But the glory is coming. The glory is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. When we all finish this world's earthly sojourn, our earthly duties over. You go into glory in the presence of God Almighty. Absent from the body, you are like Lazarus. You are present with the Lord. There is glory waiting for you. Today, some of us say, wow, this life is so hard. True? Absolutely. Yes. This morning, as I was preparing to come, I heard a cry in the kitchen. I said, what? That's our Filipina maid. She's never cried before. So I quickly rushed there. And there she was, knees on the floor, holding to the tap head and vomiting away. I said, what's happened, Nita? I don't know. I can't open my eyes. The moment I open my eyes, the whole ceiling goes spinning around. And she was sick. She was suffering from vertigo or vertigo. Something that is most terrible when you get it. You don't know until you get it. Yeah. So you see, so strong. She's been with us for 5 years. Every day she's strong. Every day she feeds us and she cares for us. This morning, we had to care for her and feed her with medicine. So you never know. Your life is so transient. Your health is so fragile. But once you know the Savior, you are best insured. That is the best insurance. To know Jesus as your Savior, you are one of the many sons He has brought into glory. So whether you are richer or poorer, stronger or not so strong, doesn't matter on this earth. Our life is but a short day. Then it's over. But ahead of us, for all the many sons of verse 10, He brings us to glory. You know, there is glory waiting for you. Only thing is you've got to go through a door called death. So that you must get to know what this door holds for you. You know, there's a door there. Okay, we see the door. You know, I know if I go through that door, I go into the open. And then I can get out of the hotel. I know all that. This door, many people do not want to investigate what's beyond the door. They're very frightened of this door called death. Are you frightened? Are you afraid? No, don't be. When you have Jesus, that door leads to glory unspeakable. Rest from all your earth woes. Because my Savior went through that door. And He conquered all. The evils and the fear and the terrible things over there. And He came forth alive 3 days' time. That is the meaning of Jesus coming this coming Friday, make sure you're here. We are going to remember the Lord for His dying. Why did He have to die? It says here, He came, made a little lower than angels, to taste death for us. To go through, to experience that awful thing called death, and then to come through victorious, so that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are united with Him. And all the blessings that came to Him are yours, right away. You know that? That's the meaning of being a Christian. So, let's read on. And He is the captain of our salvation, being made perfect through sufferings. If Jesus had said, halfway through the agony of Gethsemane, He said, Father in heaven, this is too painful for me, I'm coming back to heaven, please take me back. Then today we have no hope whatsoever, none at all. But only because He went through, you know what He said in the garden? Father, if it be possible, let this cup depart from me. I don't want it. This is so terrible. When I think of the suffering of being insulted, wearing a crown of thorns, being spat upon and slapped and beaten and scourged, and then to carry that cross to a place where I don't want to go. Who wants to go to that place of Calvary, the place of the skull? And then to be nailed into that wooden structure and then lifted up to die. I don't want it. Father, if possible, take it away. Then what did He say? The captain of our salvation was obedient unto death. That He says, but not my will. What I've said is my will. Why? I'm a man. If you have to go through that, you say, no, I don't want to go through it. Jesus was a man. He said the same thing as you would say. I don't want it. But He was obedient unto death. Say, Father, but not my will, but your will. Can we all learn this thing this morning? I don't like it. I don't want to witness for Jesus Christ. I want to keep secret. But that is my will. But not my will, your will. Jesus, leaving for heaven, gave us one last commission to all of us. Go into all the world. He doesn't say, Jesus, send angels to witness. Send plenty of angels. And surely angels are so powerful, they can convince everybody to believe. Then you have all the kingdom of heaven full of people. Right? Wrong. Angels got no story to tell. Angels got no testimony to tell. No angel can come and say, you believe on the Lord Jesus, He'll save you as He saved me, because I am a sinner saved by grace. Can any angel say that? You have a commission and a command. Go and tell all the world, you are a sinner saved by the wonderful grace of God. And through your witness, someone will believe. You know that? Two nights ago, we had dinner with a friend. And the old friend, old teacher, whom we had not contacted for some time. When I rang him, I said, we want to give you char kway teow. He says, I'll be waiting for it. But, he says, you know what? Since your last meal till now, I've got cancer of the lung. Who likes to have cancer of the lung? Almost all cases are incurable, right? So what do you do now? I witnessed to him 100 times, but now I say, Dr. So-and-so, I'm coming to you. Next week I give you really the char kway teow. You come. I will make a meal for you, but I'm going to tell you about your salvation. Very good. I say, I'm going to tell you that Jesus died for your sins, that you may come and trust in Him and have victory over death. Thank you. I will come. You see, Jesus did not send angels. No angels can go in to tell anybody, say, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because I believe and I'm saved. No angel can do that. You can. We have a great, wonderful privilege to be His messengers. You know, to be a messenger of God is so wonderful. You want to be one? Do it. Now, verse 14, as we conclude. I know my time is running out. Verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Yes, all of us are flesh and blood. And Jesus became one. Continue to read. He also, Jesus, likewise took part of flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. When Jesus went to the cross, you know, if Satan had known that when Jesus died on the cross, his own death warrant was sealed, he would not have killed Jesus. You know that? Thank God he's not that wise. But when Jesus died on the cross, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Do you remember? It is finished. What is finished? The work of salvation of all humankind, all men who will believe and trust in the Savior. That work is finished. Wonderful. I've run the race. I've won the victory. It is finished, Father in heaven. I've done what you wanted me to do. There is victory for all who will trust in Him, so that no longer do you belong to the category men fear death as children fear the dark. No more. No more fear of death, but absent from the body, present with the Lord. May we go forth with this message to tell. There is hope. There is wonderful glory everlasting waiting for those who trust in the dying and risen Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts and stir us up with a holy desire to be your messengers, to go forth and to tell others that if Jesus could save me, He can save you, and that we will be His faithful witnesses. O Lord, hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.